Well, good afternoon. For our meditation, in preparation for the Lord's table, I'd like us to look at a text that I found to be very encouraging to myself. A text that reminds me, and I hope reminds you, of the victory of Christ, a victory over death. This text is found at the end of 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 54. At the end of verse 54, we read this. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let us come to our Lord and ask for his help as we consider these verses this afternoon. Our dear God, we bow before you and we thank you, Lord, that you are a God whose ear is open to our cry. And Lord, we cry unto you even now for your help. We pray, Father, that you would send your Spirit to be with us. Help us to understand and to appreciate and even to treasure these words in your scripture, Lord. These words that remind us of Christ and his victory. These words that remind us of what he did on our behalf. How that he went to the cross. How that he died in our place. Father, as we remember our Savior, even this afternoon, as we hear the word preached and as we partake of the Lord's Supper, Lord, may our hearts be lifted up with joy and thanksgiving and give you all the honor and give you all the glory that you deserve. And we pray, Father, that you would help us to be able to love our Savior all the more, even this day. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in 1 Corinthians 15, as Pastor Cook read for us, Paul begins by reminding us of the gospel message that he preached. In verse 1, he starts off by saying this, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." This is the gospel that Paul preached. This was the message that he brought to the hearers. The gospel is about Christ. It's about a Christ who died for our sins, who died in accordance with the Scriptures. But it is also about a Christ who lives. And although he was buried, he was risen from the dead on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. This is the gospel. This is the gospel that saves through faith in Jesus, who is the Christ. And in this chapter, Paul goes on to speak of the resurrection of Christ and of its importance to us. But then he closes this chapter on a triumphant note of Christ's return. And he breaks forth in these words of thanksgiving to God for the victory over death that Christ achieved on the cross. He says, "Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And as we read these words, I hope you notice, these words are words of battle. There is a conflict that is being waged. It's a warfare. But there's also a victory. The enemy in this battle is a great and a terrible enemy. The enemy is death. It's an enemy that all men face. All men fight this enemy. Death is a reality. I believe many of us have heard the quote from Benjamin Franklin, "In this world, nothing is certain except death and taxes." Death is certain. It's one of the few things everyone can agree upon. All men will die. And though men will try almost anything they can to avoid death, we exercise, we eat healthy, we take our vitamins, We do everything we can. We search for any solution that we can to extend our lives. But I think at the end, all people recognize this sad reality. We will lose the battle. The battle against death. Death will be the victor. All men will die. Because all men die, death may seem like they are triumphant. It may seem like it has the victory. But it is only a temporary victory. For there is a resurrection of the dead. And for those who have put your faith in Christ Jesus as your Savior, we will rise again to eternal life. Death will be swallowed up in victory, a victory that is won by our Lord Jesus Christ at the cross. Well, today, as we come to consider this victory, I'd like us to do so following this simple outline. First, I want us to consider the sting of death, and then the victory of Christ. Well, first, then, the sting of death. Well, to help us to understand and increase our thanks to God for the victory that Christ has over death, it's important for us to understand the sting of death. Paul describes death as having a sting. I think many of us think of insects that have a sting, right? You can immediately think of a bee. It has a sting. This little bee. But because of that sting, we fear it. We're afraid because of if we get stung, the pain that will be inflicted upon us. But not all bees have a stinger. I've been told that some bees don't have stingers. Well, and if a little bee comes up to you and has no stinger, what do you have to be afraid of? It's but a little bee. But death has a far more fearsome stinger than any bee could ever have, than any creature could ever have. But what is the sting of death? What is it? Well, our text tells us. In verse 56, we read this, the sting of death is sin. Death comes because of sin. Death is a penal consequence because of sin. In Genesis 2:17, we read, God told Adam this. He said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. But Adam disobeyed God, and he ate of the forbidden fruit. And the consequence of Adam's disobedience was what? He died. But it was not only Adam that dies. All of us die. All men die because of sin. We are told in Romans 5:12, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all men sinned. Death spread to all of us. It's the consequence of Adam's disobedience, but it's also the consequence of our own sin. All men sin, and therefore all men will die. And I think if you ask the average person, when they think of death, what do you think of? Almost everybody will think of your physical death, will you not? And certainly this is true. This is a part of the curse. It's a consequence of sin. Because of Adam's body returned to the dust. In Genesis 3:19, we read that by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust. And to dust you shall return. Adam's body, made of dust, returned to dust that is death. But this is a fate that applies to all of us. All men at death, our bodies will return to the dust. Ecclesiastes 12:7 says this, speaking of death, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. At our physical death, it's a separation of our body from our soul. Remember that God created man, body and soul, joined together. This is the normal condition. This is how God intended it to be. But at death, that soul is separated. It is torn apart from the body. James 2:26 says this, for the body apart from the spirit is dead. Death is an abnormal condition. It's a tearing apart of what God had created and joined together. So as we think of the sting of death, I think it is fair to say that one aspect of that sting of death certainly is the sting that comes from our physical death. The separation of our body from our soul, that will be a sting, no doubt. But as I was thinking about this, I believe there's much more to the sting than just our physical death. I suggest to you that there is a much more fearful aspect of the sting of death. Jesus tells us this, "Do not fear those who can kill the body only, but he who can kill both body and soul." There is a fearful sting that will come with the death of the body and the soul. It's the sting that comes at judgment. We know that there is an hour coming. There is an appointed time when all who are in the grave, all who have died, will be called forth to come out. Jesus tells us this is the general resurrection. We read of it in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. Jesus says this, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of the judgment. All who have died, whose bodies have returned to dust, no matter what the condition might be, we will obey the call of God. We will come out. And there will be a general resurrection of everyone. Those who have done good to everlasting life, but those who have done evil to the resurrection of the judgment. And on that last day, there will be a day of judgment." Revelation 20 tells of this. In verse 11, we read this, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were open. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And if anyone's name was not found in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." This is the second death. It comes at the judgment. For those who have not placed your faith and trust in Christ, they will experience a sting that comes as a part of the second death, as a part of the judgment, a sting that is everlasting, a sentence of eternal punishment. It's likened to be thrown into a lake of fire, a place of never-ending torment, a place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we see the sting of death. It's a sting that comes because of our sin. It's a sting that comes with our physical death, yes, a separation of the body and the soul, our bodies returning to dust. But yet there is a far greater sting, a sting that comes with the second death at the judgment, a sentence of everlasting punishment for those who are apart from Christ. This is the sting of death. It's a sting of sin. But then secondly, let us now more joyfully consider the victory of Christ. As we do so, we are reminded of the power of sin. We're told it's a very powerful foe. But what gives sin its power? Our text tells us this. In verse 56, we read on and we read this, "The power of sin is the law." And you might wonder, as you read this, the law? How does the law give sin its power? The law is holy. The law is righteous and good. Speaking of the power of law, Simon Kissmaker writes this, "It, being the law, brings to light sin committed against God." I think the more that we understand God's law, the more we see our own sin. We learn that it's not just an outward obedience to the law that God requires. It's an inward obedience. It's an obedience from the heart that God requires from us. And the law reveals to us our sin. A sin that has a power that no man can conquer. For no man can keep the law perfectly. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Being confronted by the law and his inability to keep the law, Paul cries out in Romans 7, "Who will deliver me from this body of death?" But then he answers that. He says, "Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ." He looks to Christ. Christ, who is our only hope. And though man could not keep the law, Christ has fulfilled the law. Though Christ was tempted, he never sinned. He lived a sinless life. Jesus Christ, who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Christ conquered sin. He obeyed the law perfectly. He rejected the temptations of Satan. He submitted to the will of God, even to the point of death, the death upon a cross. And when Christ died on the cross, he redeemed us from the curse of the law. He suffered and died in our place. He died a substitutionary death, the just for the unjust. By his precious blood, he redeemed us. He paid the penalty that we deserved, the penalty for our sin. And by his death, Christ has fully absorbed the wrath of God. And therefore, we no longer must fear or that we will one day face the wrath of God. God's entire wrath was poured out upon Christ on the cross. Not a drop of that wrath remains for us. On the cross, Christ suffered God's wrath, and he suffered that wrath alone. He was separated from God, causing him to cry out in anguish, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But before he breathed the last, he declared his victory by proclaiming, "It is finished." His redemptive work on the cross was completed. The payment was made. Sinners for whom he died have been redeemed. When Christ died and was buried, I'm sure that many of them looked at this and said, "Ah, death is the victor. He is in the grave. Look, he has died." But as we all know, on the third day he arose. According to the scriptures, he conquered death. He arose victorious, never to die again. And by his resurrection, God affirmed Christ's victory over sin and death, that it was effectual. Christ's payment for sinners has been accepted. Everything that Jesus said about himself was true. He truly is the Son of God. He truly is the only Savior of the world. And it was necessary that he must die. And then after 3 days, he would rise. And that he would go to be with the Father to prepare a place for us. And think of it. And then one day, he will return. He will return for us to gather his people together with resurrected bodies to everlasting life, to be with him forever. The resurrection of Christ from the dead gives us confidence of Christ's victory, a victory that he won. He won by his perfect, sinless life and by his substitutionary death on the cross, a victory that has removed that sting of death. For those who are in Christ Jesus, for those who have put your faith in him alone. So as we close and we reflect on Christ's victory on the cross, his triumph over the grave, this glorious truth should cause us to be thankful. We give thanks to God. God who sent his Son to accomplish something we could never accomplish. Christ has won the victory over sin and death. And by the faith in Christ, we share in Christ's victory. Returning to our text for a moment, look at verse 55 again. It's almost as though Paul is mocking death here. This once feared enemy. He knows it has lost the battle. He says this, "Oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting?" For those who are in Christ, we no longer need to fear the grave. We no longer need to fear the sting of death. Commenting on this, C.H. Spurgeon writes this, "I will not fear thee, death. Why should I? Thou lookest like a dragon, but thy sting is gone. Thy teeth are broken, O old lion. Wherefore should I fear thee? I know that thou art no more able to destroy me, but thou art sent as a messenger to conduct me to the golden gate, wherein I shall enter and see my Savior's unveiled face forever. Christ has secured our victory. We have no need to fear death. Death is but our entrance into glory. It's our entrance into being with our Savior forevermore. And we know that though we may die a physical death, yet we shall live. For Christ has risen from the dead. The grave could not hold him. He arose victorious, the first fruits of those who will follow. And so, too, we have hope. We have hope that we will rise to eternal life. Death, the final enemy has been defeated by Christ. The curse of death is removed. We will be raised, never again to sin, never again to die. And we will be with our Savior forevermore, to the praise and worship of God. Therefore, as we remember Christ's victory and as we celebrate the table this afternoon, we should say with the Apostle Paul, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But before I close, I want to share just a brief word to those who have not put your faith in Christ. Quoting again from Mr. Spurgeon, listen carefully because these are important words for you to hear. He says this, for those who are not in Christ, death still has its sting. The sting of death lay in this, that we had sinned and we were summoned to appear before the God whom we had offended. This is the sting of death to you, unconverted ones. Not that you are dying, but that after death is the judgment, and that you must stand before the judge of the quick and the dead to receive a sentence for the sins which you committed in your body against him. That sentence that Mr. Spurgeon speaks of is this. It's the eternal death that we have already read of, a never-ending punishment for your sins. So therefore, if you're here today, if you have not put your faith and trust in Christ, I urge you to do so even now. There is a sting that awaits you, a fearful sting far greater than a physical death, an everlasting punishment. But yet you have time. Today, turn to Christ while there is yet time. Put your faith in him, for only through Christ will you have the victory over sin and death. Well, let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we bow before you, and Lord, we are amazed at your mercy and your grace to us. We confess that we are sinners, and we are so undeserving of your goodness and your grace, but yet you loved us, and you sent your Son to die for us. He took the punishment that we deserve, and now we have no need to fear death. And we can even look forward to it as that moment when we will enter into glory with you. We pray, our Father, that you would help us to have a right view of death. Help us to understand the victory that our Savior has won for us. Help us to glory in our Savior and to glory in that amazing work and victory that he accomplished on the cross. We pray, Father, that you would help us to even give thanks to him as we are about to partake of the table and remember his death. And we ask that you would be with us in Jesus' name. Amen.